This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. This message, entitled Grace Part 1, was delivered on March 31st, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you. Thank you for all the wonderful things you are always doing here in East Hawaii. And we thank you that we get to be a part of it. Lord, we pray your will be done. So would you receive these gifts that we give right now? Multiply them like only you can and use them for your eternal glory. Father, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric. And thank you, John, for last week. That was really good. He talked about words last week. And if you didn't catch it, you can catch it online at newhopeasthawaii.com. And it was a good thing that... He did speak about words because I got so much, because this past Wednesday I went to Waikea Elementary School and I got to speak to a second grade class about using their words, and it's so cool talking to second graders. They're so much fun. So what I did with the second graders, I got like six tubes of toothpaste, and I said, okay, I'm gonna count to five. I want to see how much you can squeeze out. So I gave everybody a turn, and they squeezed it really good. Then I told them, put it back. I said, huh? Put it back in the tube. But we can't. Why? Because the opening is, you just can't. Well, that is your words. Once you say it, it is out there. Too bad. Too late. It's done. Damage. So I told them. Then I gave them some sweets, and I said, every time you eat these sweets, think of what I said and use sweet words to everybody. But thank you, John, for that. It was really good. It was so much fun, second grade. It's just the perfect mentality for me. Because I am not smarter than a second grader. Well, good morning, New Hope. Hi, Denise. We had a great dance class on Friday night. Man, do I look 17% more attractive? Ah! Grant, it worked. But I tell you, I was so far from graceful. Stepping on my wife, kicking her out of her. And Denise, she was so kind to you. You're doing great. I think I need to go back and get more lessons. But it was for those of you who came, you know what it was like. It was hard work. We were here sweating. Just learning to do different dances, like four different dances in just a matter of minutes. But it is true, I do have two left feet. Whew. Such a beautiful day. I love you guys all. So, a man dies, okay, and he goes to heaven. And of course, who is at the gates? Saint Peter. He says, here's how it works, man. You need 100 points to make it into heaven. You tell me all the good things you have done, and I'll give you a certain amount of points for each item, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, you get in. The guy says, okay, sure thing. Well, I was married to the same woman for 50 years, never cheated on her, even in my heart. St. Peter said, that's wonderful. That is worth 3 points. You're like, kidding me, you didn't know my wife. 3 points. Then he said, well, you know, I went to church all my life, supported these ministries with my tithes, my service. Terrific, Peter said. Well, that's worth a point. 1 point? What? How about this? I started a soup kitchen. In my city, I worked hard at the homeless shelter for veterans. Peter says, fantastic. That's good for 2 more points, he says. 2 points, the man cries. At this rate, the only way I'll get into heaven is by the grace of God. Peter says, come on in. The next few weeks, we're going to be on a journey, and we're going to talk about grace. What is grace? Understanding it. Who needs grace and why? How do I get grace? Am I living it, giving it? How do I give grace? And we're going to finish on Easter, talking about grace at the cross, salvation. You know, my life, I have lived a life that that reflected God's grace. You know, being an alcoholic, drug addict, I was drinking from the age of 15 and taking drugs shortly after that until I was 37. I'm not proud of it, but I can say by the grace of God and by the power of His Holy Spirit, I can stand before you today, delivered, redeemed. I'm a child of God and a servant of Him. God's grace is defined, some say it is elegance. It is refined movement. I mean, when we were dancing, when we were doing the dance, and Denise called up some volunteers to help, and when she asked Auntie Emmy to dance, I thought Auntie Emmy, she was so graceful. And I was watching, it's like, wow, she must have done this before. And if you were to look at me, and it was like, talk about the opposite of grace. My wife was, she was doing great, but I just kept throwing off my timing, and I would do a few steps good, and then my mind would just blank, and I would start stepping the wrong way, and my wife would say, sorry. I was like, it's not you, honey, it's me. But some say grace is elegance. I mean, she dances so gracefully. Some say it's courteous and politeness. But by far, this is my most favorite definition of God's grace, God's unmerited favor. See, back when I was worldly, God was like the last thing on my list of priorities. He probably wasn't even on my list of priorities. I wasn't even close to Him. And when I look back, I can see that God still loved me. How do I know this? Well, if I got what I deserved back then, I would be either dead or I would be in jail because I used to drink and drive, do drugs, and do stupid stuff. So if I got what I deserved, I would either probably have killed somebody, killed myself, or got arrested. But God's unmerited favor must have kept me alive. Because you know what? It couldn't have been luck, right? Because there's not one piece of luck that I read in the Bible. There's not one mention of luck, but grace and blessings. So as I look back, it must have been God's grace that God must say, I got to keep this stupid guy alive because I have plans for him. I wish I could slap him around a little bit more. But God said, I love this guy. He's doing dumb things. And man, one day he's going to turn around. So I can see God, just His grace protecting me all those years of being very unintelligent. Well, if you have your Bibles, how many of you brought your Bibles? Yay! Open it up to the book of Romans. So it's a New Testament, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. Who wrote the book of Romans? Paul. Yay! We got some very intelligent people here. Paul wrote the book of Romans to the people in Rome. Right? So, grace. Number one, grace is unmerited favor or undeserved favor. Romans 5, chapter 8. You ready? If you don't have your Bibles, you look at the screen. Okay? But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I put the me and the I in there because I wanted to personalize it. You know, read it to myself. But God demonstrates His own love for me in this. While I were still sinning, Christ died for me. When I was drinking and driving and taking drugs and being stupid, He still died for me. That's like, whew, I didn't deserve that. Grace, some people say, is the most important concept in the Bible, Christianity, in the world. It is most clearly expressed in the promises of God revealed in Scripture and come to life in Jesus Christ. Grace is probably the greatest word in the Bible, even greater than love, because grace is love in action. Wow. Grace is the love of God shown to the unlovely, the peace of God given to the restless, the unmerited favor of God given for all to receive. Grace in simple terms is God's unmerited favor and supernatural enablement and empowerment for salvation and sanctification. Grace is everything for nothing to those who don't deserve anything. Grace is what everyone needs, no one can earn, and what God alone can and does freely give. Grace is most needed and best understood in the midst of sin, suffering, and brokenness. Man, how many of you can relate to that? Man, I remember when I made up my mind to come to the Lord, I was broken, I was drunk, I was crying, and I was thinking, nobody loved me. And I was crying, and God reached down to me. You and I, live in a broken world where people strive to earn deserving and merit, and the result is in judgment. And that's why everyone wants and needs grace, because judgment kills, only grace makes alive. So number two, grace is not earned. Okay? Grace is not earned. Grace is mercy, not merit. Grace is the opposite of karma. And I love to see, you know, when what goes around comes around, and when somebody does something, you just want to be there to watch it come around. Yeah? Karma, like, yeah, you see, you deserve that. But grace is not that. So you can see I have a lot to learn. Grace is the opposite of karma, which is about getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. I am so thankful that God has grace. Because think about it. If God gave us what we deserve, what would that be? Would that be like a lightning bolt coming in? Poof, okay, gone. You got what you deserve. Or some of you might be so good that you get something good. I was never that way, but, you know, thank God for his grace. Yeah. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, not getting what you do. Okay. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as the result of works, so that no one can boast. We become Christians through God's unmerited favor, not as a result of any effort, ability, intelligence, act of service, or on our part. Okay? God gives us that. Christianity teaches that we deserve death with no hope of resurrection. While everyone desperately needs it, grace is not about us. Grace is fundamentally a word about God, his extravagant demonstration of care and favor. God gives nothing less than himself, grace. Then it's not a thing or a substance meditating between God and sinners, but grace is Jesus Christ in redeeming action. As Christians, we live every single day by the grace of God. We receive forgiveness according to the riches of God's grace. And grace, God's grace, should motivate our dedication. Paul tells us in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. The grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all of us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Number three, we, you and I, need to grow in grace. 2 Peter, but grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Peter, he ends his message just as he began, urging his readers to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is why we, you and I, get to know him better. This is the best way to discern false teaching. And no matter where we may be in our spiritual journey, no matter how mature we may be in our faith, the sinful world is always out there challenging our faith. And you and I, we have much room for growth. Every day, we need to draw closer to Christ so that we will be prepared to stand for truth in any and all circumstances. Grace transforms our desires, motivations, and behavior. I mean, you look what God's grace did to me. Changed my heart, changed my mind, changed my life. Yeah? God's grace grounds and empowers everything in the Christian life. Okay? So to grow in grace is to mature as Christians. We are saved by grace through faith, and we must mature and be sanctified by grace alone. We know that grace is a blessing that we don't deserve. It is God's grace that justifies us, sanctifies us, and eventually glorifies us in heaven. Now, the sanctification process is becoming more like Christ, and it's synonymous with growing in grace. I mean, how many of you could be more... Not graceful in dancing, but more graceful to your neighbor. I can be a lot more graceful when I'm driving. Hello, right? Yeah. I mean, how many of you could be graceful when that person in the express line in front of you has 20 items? We could all have more grace, right? Instead, we're like, oh, somebody don't know how to count. You know, simple, 10 items. What part of 10 items don't you understand? Right? You've been behind those, right? Are you one of those? Oh, I better have grace on you, yeah? You know when somebody in front of you drives fast, drives slow, drives fast, drives slow. John said, an easy press of the brakes will solve all your problems. I tried that this week. Kind of works. I just need more grace. Huh? We all need God's grace, number four. We all need much of God's grace. I might need more than you. 2 Corinthians 12. But because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Poor guy, yeah? This is Paul. And concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. You know, he was suffering from something. We're not sure what. And he did, you can imagine, this guy is suffering. And he's asking God to take this away. And, you know, I'm sure if God took it away, he could have been more effective in ministry, but maybe not. But God didn't take it away. And still yet, he wrote most of the New Testament. And this was God's reply to him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. My grace is sufficient. How many of you, maybe you have a health issue or you have like something going on in your life and, you know, you think about is God's grace what I need? Is God's grace all I need? Is God's grace sufficient for me? Because it was for Paul. So Paul, three times he prayed for healing. I mean, this is Paul, man. You know, this is Paul. You think about Paul and what he did. Paul prayed for healing, and you would think if anybody would pray for healing, you know, Paul probably would get it. But he did not. He received, however, things far greater because he received greater grace from God, stronger character, humility, and ability to empathize with others. In addition, he benefited those around him as they saw God work in his life. See, because he was suffering and because God gave him his grace, people around him saw it. And he relied more on God. And grace is so much more than this. That's why we're going to take three more weeks about learning about grace. And I hope you will be here with me because I believe this one. When I was writing this, I was thinking, I got 4 weeks speaking up to Easter. And I was saying, God, what do you want me to share? And I was driving, sure enough, one day, and, you know, God likes to speak to me when I'm driving. And I cannot take out my phone because that would be against the law. And so it's like, you know, I was driving. A good thing it was a short drive. He said, grace. And I was like, grace, grace, great, grace. And so I had to just repeat that in my mind all the way back to my office. Grace, what is it? Who needs it? How do we get it? How do we give it? You know, and I'm thankful that I still hear the Lord, because if I didn't hear the Lord, I don't know what I would be saying to you over here. But yeah, really. But that's it for, you can put away your notes. You know, this is our fifth Sunday. We are going to take our missions offering, and I'm going to ask the ushers to get ready. I want to read to you a letter that I got from Foursquare Missions Press. I got this just a week or so ago. It says, Dear Pastor Scott, new challenges, but the same mission. How do we get the gospel message into millions of hungry hearts this year? The Lord is opening doors and new ways to reach the lost and strengthen the saved. So we are expanding our resources to meet the growing need in many nations. Can I give you some specific examples? Children, the children's gospel box. If you don't know, Foursquare puts together almost like the Operation Christmas Child box size, but they put gospel things in there, and it's called the children's gospel box, and they send that all over the world. We have unprecedented opportunity to reach tens of thousands of children in Africa, specifically Kenya and Tanzania, this year, not only to restore and train children's ministry leaders, but also to empower kids to reach kids. More wide open doors to reach children in regions often hostile to the gospel like Egypt, Nepal, and Vietnam. Plus, we are continue to grow our children's gospel box ministry in Latin America, often among the poorest of the poor. Altogether, with your help, we will ship out over 2,000 gospel boxes with the ability to reach 300,000 children for Christ. So that's what we do with our missions offering that we take on the fifth Sunday. We do share it with Foursquare Missions Press. That's the guys who print all the stuff that goes to all the missionaries. So we don't help just one missionary. We help them all by supporting the missions press. Amen. So if the ushers could get here, I'm going to pray for the missions offering. Lord, thank you so much that we get to give to our missions, that we get to use these funds to reach the ends of the earth with your good news. Lord, so I ask that you would bless the missions offering, bless the giver. Lord, we pray that we would reach these people in Africa and all over the world. We thank you that we get to give. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow, we're early, yeah? That's okay, because they're setting up the slide. But hey, I'm going to ask the men. Are we singing now? Postlude, men? Al? Yep. Okay, solo. Who's singing solo? Not graceful, you know. Not graceful at all. Well, hey, come on, man. If you've been to men's ministry, come up and join us. If you want to come to men's ministry, you can come up to join us. While they're coming up, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me. Maybe you never had the chance to respond to God's offer of grace, meaning that you never had the chance to ask Jesus to be Lord of your life, to enter the kingdom, to enter heaven by grace. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sin and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you over there. Or anybody else out there? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands that said, yes, Lord, I want your grace. I receive your grace. And by your grace, we get to be in heaven. So, Lord, I pray for those who have lifted their hands as you entered them. Lord, live in them. And use New Hope East Hawaii as a vessel to help them start their relationship, start their life with you. We thank you, Lord, for all those who said yes today. We know from what your word said that when one person repents, all heaven rejoices. And right now, at this very moment, there's a celebration in heaven for those who just raised their hands. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, and we rejoice with heaven. We love you, Lord. We thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand and join us? For those of you who said yes, you need a Bible. We have Bibles in the back we can get for you. There is a yes booklet at the greeting table. Please take one of that. It will be helping you with your walk with Jesus. But stand and join us as the guys sing and I watch from the side.
You know these men over here? You know where their heart is? Their heart is in this song. Sing this song along with them, because this is actually their prayer. And I really privilege and I really look forward to join them every other week, because we come here to praise him and to allow him to change our lives to be the men that he had called us to be. And you know, these men, I tell you something, you know, they don't want to cry, but I can see it in their hearts a lot of times when the Lord speaks to them. So when we sing this song, think of them praying to the Lord.
Been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.